Today we get to celebrate our mothers. Today we get to celebrate the gift that God's given us in that. And before we get into too much, I want to share something with you. Something I believe I've shared it with you before, but some of the things that my mother taught me as I was growing up. How many of you know your moms teach you certain things? Scripture tells us about it in 2 Timothy. He's talking to Timothy, and he talks about the faith that was in his grandmother and his mother, and passed and believed that it resides in him as well. And we see mothers play an important role in the Scripture, and we're going to talk a little bit about one of them today. Maybe a little bit about a couple. I might throw a few in there, but just thinking about it. But I want to share with you guys some things that my mother taught me. Are you guys ready? First of all, my mother taught me about religion. Because when I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed me, you better pray that stain comes out of that carpet, right? Taught me how to talk to God. She taught me how to use logic from her decisive words. Like, why do I need to do that? Because I said so, right? That's the logic that I learned. She taught me to use foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear just in case you get in an accident, right? That's important to do. She taught me about irony. Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about, right? How's that? Have any of you guys had your moms tell you those things? My mother taught me about stamina. You will sit there until you finish that spinach, right? Stay consistent. My mother taught me about the weather. It looks like a tornado has slept through your room. She taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of it. She taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father, right? She taught me all kinds of things. And to be honest, my mom taught me a lot about how to go through some difficult situations, about how love is supposed to be always and unconditional. My mom taught me that. And Mother's Day can be a difficult day for some people. If you're one of the ones that has a difficult time with Mother's Day because maybe your mom is not here, maybe she's gone on to be with the Lord and you struggle with that, or maybe you didn't have the best mom growing up. I don't understand either one of those two because I've not been there. But there are definitely some people that have. And what I want to encourage you is to, same thing with every situation, look to the good in those situations. Look to the good things that your mother instilled in you. Look to the good things that you've learned from them. Look to the good times on those situations. And understand this, that you may have some people in your life that consider you their mom or look to you as a mother figure. And understand that's just as important. I'm going to talk a little bit about mothers today. And before we get there, I'm going to go to this. There's been a lot of people ask me about about when we're going to start having services again and come and be here. And they've opened up some things, and you still have to maintain social distancing. For those of you that have been in our building before, if we social distance, we can fit up probably about 16 people, maybe 20 at the most. And how do you stand at the door and say you can come in and you can't? And because of that and other health reasons and other things, we're going to continue to do our live streams as soon as possible that we can get people back in and take care of everyone. We will definitely do that. But how many of you know we learn from difficult situations and difficult times in our life? We've all heard the adage, no pain, no gain. And the thought process that I want to add to that is if there is pain without gain, then it's a real shame, right? If we go through issues and we learn nothing from it, then it's not a good thing. And so we want to learn from this, from the situation, from what we're going through, learn from past lessons. Some of you may be loving the quarantine life and some of you may hate it. Maybe you're done with it. Like, I'm over it. I want to go back to normal. But again, if we go back to normal, then we haven't learned anything in this situation. We need to take the good and change that comes from it. Because there's good and bad that has come from it. Because of the fear of COVID, I'm going to give you a couple of things. Bible sales are up higher than they've ever been. That's a good thing, right? spiritual awareness is up, man. You look on social media and you see more and more and more people posting about God, doing videos and doing things. Even people that aren't pastors, that aren't in that place, but they're sharing what God has given to them. You know, and I believe that whenever we return back to church, that we will have more people than we had before this situation. I do believe that. But I also understand that if you look at the numbers and what's going on, this is also up. Anxiety is up more than ever before in the lives of people. Alcohol sales are up more than they have been. Domestic abuse is up more than it was before this happened. Calls to the suicide hotline are up higher than they've been in the past. And so you see those things and you understand, we have to understand that we're kind of at a crossroads right now where we have to decide which direction we want to turn, which direction we're going to go. We can either turn to God in the midst of these situations and trials and problems, or we can turn away from God. And understand this, man, God is the answer for everything that you're searching for. God is the answer to take care of all those things. And we have a choice, again, to bring Christ into our crisis or to face the crisis on our own. And so today we're going to talk about the subject about changing your faith, changing your trust in God. Because how many of you understand, people see the faith that you have in God and react how they want to react. You say, what does this have to do with Mother's Day? I'm going to get to that. I have a perfect example of faith changing in a person, and we're going to talk about it. Because some of you know, in the scripture, you see a bunch of different moms. You see moms that made really, really good choices. You may see moms that didn't make good choices. You see moms that stepped out in faith. You see moms that didn't step out in faith. You see all kinds. You see mothers who taught their children and raised them in a certain way. And seeing what happened in their life after those things, we see a lot of those things in the ladies in the scripture. How many of you know the ladies in the scripture don't get the billing that they should get, right? The moms that raised Mary, right? Mary was put in a tough situation. She had to stand out in faith and say, you know what? I'm going to step out. We're going to continue on the way we were doing. I'm going to do my best to raise the Son of God the best that I can. How many of you know that would be like a tall order to stand up to, right? That would be something difficult. What are you going to, I'm just going to raise God's Son for him. Let me explain this, though. We are all children of God. And you are raising the Son and the daughter of God. Maybe if we remembered that, the way we would do things are different, would be different. And I understand, man, I hear people say it all the time. They're like, we're going to have kids when we get ready to have kids, right? Look, you ain't never ready for kids. You might think you're ready until it gets here. And then it's a whole new ball game, right? And then you get ready to have your next one and you understand this fact. This one is totally different than the last one to have. Like, everything has changed. Why? It's the same kid, this little kid, right? But it's totally different. And each child has to be taken care of in a different manner. We see in the scriptures how, again, some mothers did very, very well and some mothers didn't. Some mothers stepped out in faith, like I said. How hard would it be to put your child in a basket and watch your child float down the river? How hard would it be to step out in faith and say, God, I know you're going to take care of this, right? Some of us need to understand with the situation with our children that we need to put them in God's hands and say, God, I understand you're going to take care of this. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do what I can do about it. But I am giving you this child. I'm giving you this situation. How many of you know it's going to be difficult, but we need to do it? Some areas, we learned that from the scriptures. We also see unbelieving mothers or mothers that believe in God but don't believe and have faith in a certain situation. Today we're going to talk about Sarah. Sarai at the time. Her name was changed. But just like her, just like our lives, her life was far from perfect. But this is what the scripture ends up saying in Hebrews about her and about what she believed and about her faith. By faith, Hebrews 11:11, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive. And even when she was past the age, since she was considered faithful to him who had promised. So she was past the age of having children. She was past that point in her life. But God brought her a child anyway. Why? Because there was a promise made to her. And how many of you know God keeps his promises? There was a promise made to her. I love the fact that Sarah, having faith, brought about the miracle in her life. It gives me hope for myself. I like to put my name in that scripture right there. Even Toby believed that God would keep his promise, right? We need to believe those promises that are. We need to have faith in him and what he's doing. Understand this, though. There's a process before the promise was received. There was a process before the promise was received. I want you to listen to this quote. Faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Faith that cannot be tested. So when your faith is tested, it's a good thing. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says this, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." These issues, these problems, these things, the process that we're going through helps to bring about the promise in our life. Sometimes we don't get to the promised land without the wilderness before it, right? Sometimes we don't get to where we're going without having issues and problems and things, and many of us get stuck in the process. So the other day, I was frustrated about some things, and those of you who know me know that I've been trying to do lose weight and change my lifestyle, not just lose weight, but to be healthy, and so trying to do some different things, and I was really frustrated. And what's one of the main things that we want to do when we're frustrated? Eat. Exactly. Eat. And so I've been about almost 3.5, maybe 4 months on kind of a plant-based diet, and no meat, right? Only a couple times have I had meat, and I have a cheat day every now and then. And but anyway, and then I regret it. How many of you know you do something you know you're not supposed to do, or something you don't want to do, and you go ahead and do it, and it feels really good at the time, and then as soon as it's done, you're like, oh man, why did I do that? Now I have to go back and start again, right? So understanding that process, I the other day I was frustrated and I was like, you know what? Forget it. I don't see it. I don't see a change right now. I don't see things happening the way that it was. It was doing really, really good, and now it's kind of plateau. How many of you know you plateau and then it goes good and then it plateau? That happens in our life, not just in that area. And so that day, I was so frustrated. I was like, man, forget this. I'm going to Arby's and get me 2 Big Montanas. They don't call them that no more, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Them biggest roast beef sandwiches I can get. And then I'm going to Burger King and get some Whoppers. And then I'm going to go to Wendy's and get the triple. Do y'all know? I'm not going to tell you how I know this, but they're not selling triples at Wendy's right now, only doubles, because they're cutting back on their meat process. I don't understand that. Have faith. Have faith, right? But Wendy's didn't do it. Anyway, some of us get like I was and get stuck in the process. We get into the middle of it and we say, this pain isn't worth it. This struggle, this way that I'm going isn't worth it. We need to understand that the shame would be for us to stop in the middle after going through that pain and learning nothing from it, not understanding that God is going to bring fulfillment, what he said in his word, the promises that he's given to each and every one of us. He's going to bring them to pass. Because God keeps his promises. So in order to reset our faith, in order to take a different perspective on our faith, I want us to remember a couple of things. And some of these things you might say, listen, man, I understand. I already know that. That's okay. Let's revisit it and start from the beginning. How many know sometimes you get in the middle of something? Guys, all right? This is a side note. This is a squirrel moment. Y'all ready? How many of you know that when you get something, you bust open the box and you start putting it together? Until you realize you have no clue what you're doing, and then what do? You look at the instructions and see the steps that you missed, then you have to undo what you've done, right, and then start back again. So today, in our faith and in the way that we look at what God is doing, I want us to go back and to look at these steps. So even if you say, man, I already know this, and I know, let's just go back and walk through it again. And if you don't need these, then put them in your closet, because one day you might, right? One day that shoe might fit, Cinderella. It might be you. It might be you. You can tell I have girls, and they watch Disney stuff. So, the first thing that we need to understand in our story, in our life, in what's going on, is that God desires to bless us. He desires to bless us. He desires to put good things in our life. He desires to bring us from where we are to the promised land. You understand, if God didn't desire to bless his children, he'd have left them in Egypt. Right? He would have let them continue to wander in the wilderness and never get to the promised land. All right, y'all want to be hard-headed? Fine, y'all stay where you're at. Y'all can't come, right? He could have done that, but he didn't. He said, even though you're hard-headed, I still love you. You're my children. I want you to come with me. As a hard-headed child, I understand that I'm glad they didn't leave me behind, right? It would have been so much easier for my mom and dad just leave me at Walmart back then. Well, they didn't do Walmart. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, man, he's just difficult. Y'all take care of him. They weren't worried about anybody kidnapping me. Why? Because they knew he'd bring him back in about 20 minutes, right? Walk that kid right back through the door. I ain't got to worry about him. He's good, right? No, it's one of those situations that if God didn't love us and desire to bless us, he'd leave us right where we're at. He wouldn't send his son to die for you and for me. He wouldn't do it. Why? Because he doesn't care. But we have a Father in heaven that cares about us. We have a Father in heaven that desires to bless us. That desires to give us, and some people get this crazy and take off in left field. But we'll see in this story, there was a desire in Abraham and Sarah's life, and God desired to fill it for them. He desired to bless them. In our story, Abram receives a promise. And that promise was for him and his wife Sarah, or Sarai at the time. They're the same people. And God changed their names. But listen to this. We're going to read a couple of things, and I'm going to give you some more points out of it. But Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, it says this. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house, Eleazar, is from Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and the member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, this man shall not be your heir. Now here comes the promise. You ready? He says, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look towards heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. How many of you know they're still counting stars today? Right? They're still finding stars. They're still finding God. They're still finding things today. So if you can count how many that is, that's how many your heirs are going to be. And then he said to them, so shall your offspring be, if you are able to number them. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Some of us need to believe the promises of God in our life. Some of us need to read the word and see the promises that are there. Some of us need to just get in God's presence and allow his spirit to speak the promises of God in our life. But we don't get in his presence. We get in the middle of our situation and we get in the pity party of, but I don't have what I need, God. But I don't have this. But do you see where I'm at? And I'm going to tell you, if God has promised you something and you're in a place, he's going to give you what you need to get to the place he's promised you. He will do it. Why? Because God desires to bless his children. He desires, this is a desire of Abram's heart and Sarah's heart. I have no heir, no offspring, no kids. I'm too old to have them now. Don't you understand where I'm at? Let's stop looking at God and say, God, don't you understand where I'm at? And look at the promise he's made and said, God, I don't know how you're going to get me to there, but I know that you are because you desire to bless me. God desires to bless us. We need to trust him. We need to trust him. Depending on what kind of a father you had growing up will depend on how well you're willing and ready to trust God as a father in your life. Again, same thing worked with the mother, with the father. Some we count as good. Some we say weren't too good for us. But how many of you know our Father in heaven is always good? Always desires to bless us. And I have some reasons. 6 reasons why we should trust God. and understand that he loves us. The first one is he knows you by name. I want you to write these scriptures down. Are they up there on the thing? I want you to write these scriptures down so that you'll understand what they are. He knows us by name. Isaiah 43:1. Isaiah 43:1. Number two, God will fight for you. Exodus 14:14. Exodus 14:14. He thinks about you. Psalms 139:17. Number four, he has plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11. He is your refuge. How many of you need him as a refuge? Your strength. Psalm 62:6-8. And the last one I'm going to give you right now, there's so many more reasons, but the last one I'm going to give you right now is that he is always with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Matthew 28:20. Again, there are so many more reasons that we should trust him, that we should look to him in the middle of our situation, that we should understand that he's going to bring us through. But how many of you know sometimes it's difficult in the middle of our situation to see it? We need to understand that God desires to bless us in the midst of those crazy times. James 1:17 says this, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He is always the same. He has so many things that he wants to bless his children with, that he wants to give to us. He desires to bless us. It reminds me of a story that I've heard for years, man. It says there was a man and he went to heaven. He was met at the gates by an angel who welcomed him in and said, let's take a look around and show you to your new place. I don't think this is how it actually happens, but it's a really good story. All right. He shows him to his new place. And the man was stunned by the beauty and the majesty of heaven. And he could hardly wait to see the mansion that was prepared for him. How many of you are ready to see your mansion prepared for you in heaven? Look, they're not gonna have a corner in that you're gonna get stuck in. That's not how it works. God's prepared a place for us according to what Jesus has said. Amen. The man was stunned, couldn't wait to see what his house looked like. The angel finally stopped in front of a beautiful mansion and he said, "Here it is. Here's your home. How do you like it?" The man in awe stared at the place that he would spend eternity. He said, I can't wait to see what it looks like on the inside, right? I can't wait to get in there. And so they go and they look around. He opens the door. He's seeing all these different things. And in one room, he opened the door and there were boxes stacked to the ceiling. And he said, man, what is that? What are all those? He said, well, those are the gifts that you should have received that were there for you. But don't worry, we'll get them all moved out shortly. He's like, what do you mean? He said, well, those are the blessings God had for you in your life. Those are the things that were there and available for you, but you never asked for them. You never asked for them. You never said, God, let me have that. God, help me with this. God, let me see this. God, show me this. But now it's too late, right? We need to understand that we need to look to God and understand he desires to bless us in our life. Amen? He desires to show us good things in our life. What does the scripture say? Taste and see that the Lord is good, right? We need to understand that. And when we reset our faith, if we go into it saying God desires to bless us, God desires to give us good things, to put us in good situations, he desires to do those things, we need to understand that sometimes the process before that is what's going to lead us to those good things, what's going to lead us to those blessings. Number two, we need to understand when we're looking at the faith of God is that God's timing is always perfect. He's always on time. Amen? He's always on time. Listen to this one. God has perfect timing. Never early, never late. It takes a little patience and a whole lot of faith, but it's worth the wait. Amen? It's worth the wait. His timing might not be your timing. In our story, this is the lesson learned by Sarah. Chapter 16:1-2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had bore him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." Do you hear what she said there? Not that God's going to bring his promise about. Not that God's going to do this thing. But I'm going to take care of it because it hasn't happened yet. And Abraham listened to the voice of his wife. So the promise was given, but it didn't happen in her time frame. And so because of it, she took matters into her own hands. Does it sound familiar to any of you guys with our lives, with what we do? We do it all the time. We give the problem to the Lord, but when it's not handled the way we think it should be or in the timing frame that we think it should be, then we begin to take the problem back and try to handle it our own way. God, you made this promise. You said this is going to happen. So I'm going to do this, this, and this to make sure it happens. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying sit back and just let God make God do everything. There are certain things that we have to do in the middle of the process, right? But listen to him. Go to him. Allow him to lead us and direct us. Because this is the thing. The surrogate solution that we come up with, that we have, will only create problems. Because Sarah handled things her own way, Hagar's son Ishmael is the father of Islam, just so you know. And because of these two issues, taking care of the issue herself, there's a long-standing issue that happens generation after generation after generation. They have fought from the beginning of time, from the beginning since this happened. And if Sarah would have just understood, hey, God's going to take care of it. I'm going to stay out of the way and allow him to lead me and guide me to do what he wants me to do in my situation, we will understand that God's timing is perfect. Don't mess it up trying to rush it. We need to not mess it up trying to rush it. 2 Peter 3:8 and 9. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush for what God has. Now, I understand I'm in the middle of the situation. It's painful. It's hard. It's difficult. I don't like where I'm at right now. God, do something. Maybe that God changes your perspective, your mind, your perspective on the situation that you're in, and it allows you to understand what's going on and make you see where you're going through totally different, right? You know, you can go through a very, very bad situation and still have joy, still be happy. We've talked about it month after month after month. You can still have the joy in the midst of this situation if you'll turn your perspective away from what you don't have to what you do have. Away from what you don't see in your life to look towards God to say, God, what are you doing? Show it to me. And when we start asking him those things, guess what? Scripture says he answers us. Amen? We need to not get in a hurry. The third thing we need to understand is that nothing is too hard for God. Did you know that? There's absolutely nothing that is too difficult for God. Can God do that? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Our God is great. Our God is mighty. There is none like our God. We see that over and over in Scripture. We see his provision over and over in Scripture. We see him taking care of issues that seemed impossible. We see him moving and working in them. In our story, Genesis chapter 18, we're going to skip ahead. Chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. We're going to see some of these things too. Y'all ready? And the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening behind the door, the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and the way of woman had ceased to be with Sarah. She was past childbearing years. So this is what Sarah did, verse 12. Said, so Sarah laughed to herself. Now this laugh wasn't a laugh of joy. This laugh wasn't a laugh of, this is amazing, this is going to be great. This is then a laugh of doubt. Like, okay, yeah, God, you could really use me to do that. Do you know how many people in Scripture laughed or thought, God, you can't use me? Do you know how many people that God uses at the beginning of their ministry, at the beginning of their time, look at themselves and say, God, this is impossible. You can't bring this into something good. How many people look into situations and say, you can't bring where I'm at right now to be any kind of good in the future, ever? How many of you see the issues and those things and think that thought? Time and time and time again, she laughed inside herself. Yeah, right, this is never going to happen. How do I know that was that laugh? The very next thing saying, I am old, I am worn out, and my Lord is old. Shall I have pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? God got upset at the lack of belief. How many of you do that with your kids? You say something, they say something, I'm like, did you really just say that to me? Right? Did that just come out of your mouth? God said, did she really just say, Abraham, did she really just say that? I do that to my girls too. I look and say, I like Sydney. Did Shelby really just like, she's there, she's listening. Did I just hear her say that? Because my hearing must be wrong, right? That's what God was doing in this time. Like, hold up, did she really just say that I can't do that? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? This is what he said. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. About this time next year, Sarah shall have a son. She learned a valuable lesson that day. Sarah did. When the child came, she learned a valuable lesson. You know what that lesson is? Faith in God begins where faith in myself ends. The faith in God begins when I take that step, understanding that he's the one that's going to take care of these issues and things. That faith. How many of you know? It takes faith to take steps in a difficult time. So Jim helped me move. We moved a lady in Apopka, an old friend of mine, man, from a long time ago, and she needed some help moving, and we went down there yesterday, and we're moving, and talking about scaffolding, and talking about what Jim does, or mass climbers, and all those different things, but I'm thinking in my mind about what he's doing, and how he's doing it. I was thinking about it this morning, and how they put these things together to climb these big, huge buildings, and these big, huge things, when there's nothing really there, other than the building's there, but they have to put equipment, they do all these crazy things, right? Talk to Jim if you want to know more about it. But what they do is they build things so high up in the air that people have to work on and walk on and step on. And do you know it's really easy to have faith in something that you never have to do? Right? Like, I have faith that Jim and the guys, they put it all together and it's amazing and they do a great job at what they do. But do you know what? I never step foot on that equipment that they're using. But there are guys that are 600 feet in the air, right, that have to have faith in what they did, their abilities, their talents. You guys follow me? They have to take that step off of there. Like, I don't want to fall from here to there. It's like, what, like 2 foot? I mean, I'm good. I mean, I can climb a ladder if I need to, but I don't really feel like it, you know? I just don't want to. But they do it, and they have to do it. They do it for their job. And faith is that guy that doesn't know Jim that's stepping out on that piece of equipment that Jim built, right? Sometimes we need to understand that stepping out, we need to have faith. Now, for me, it would be easier for me to get on that thing because I know Jim. I know who he is, what he does. I would have faith in it. I would. And I would step out on it. I wouldn't like it, but I would, right? But how many of you know it's so easy to have faith in things and say you have faith in something and never have to have it tested or challenged, right? So easy to do that. But this is the thing, man. If we truly understand who God is, that he loves us, that he wants, desires us to bless us with things, that he desires to take care of us, that his timing is different than our timing, and he tells us to do these things, we need to understand that we need to move. We need to step out. That my faith in God begins where my faith in myself ends. I understand I can't do a lot of things in my life, but I understand that God can through me. God can through me. Luke chapter 18, verse 27 says this. What is impossible for man is possible with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. We need to allow our faith to be renewed, our trust in God to be renewed, to know that there is nothing impossible for God. He doesn't have limitations. There's nothing he can't do. That his timing is always perfect, and that he desires to bless us. And the fourth way that we're going to talk about today, and you have to know this, God always delivers on his promises. Scripture says he's not a man that he should lie, right? If he said it, he's going to do it. But how hard was it again, going back, thinking back, how hard was it again for the Israelites to walk around for 40 years in the desert saying, God's going to take care of it, God's going to take care of it. He said he was going to take care of it. Do you know the time frame that it should have taken them for them to get from where they were to the promised land was like very short, but they were there 40 years walking around and around and around and then back the other way, right? All because at the time that they should have stepped out in faith, when they sent the 12 spies, right? They should have stepped out in faith. Two came back and said, let's do it. And the rest came back and said, nah, don't you see what we're up against? Not understanding how big their God was. How good and big their God is. Amen? God always delivers on his promise. Genesis 21, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip to 6. Y'all ready? So the Lord visited Sarah, as he said. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah born, was Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, and when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And this is what Sarah says at this point. God has made laughter for me. See, now the laughter of disbelief had been turned to a laughter of joy because what a God had done. So the unbelief that she had at first, the can this be possible, can this be true, now is a laughter of look what God has done in my life. And this is what it says after this. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. So it's not just the blessing God puts in my life that I'll be joyous and I'll be happy. He doesn't just do things for us so that we're taken care of. What does he do? He causes the joy to spill out into other people, to overtake other people's lives, for them to be able to see what God has done in your life and see that it's possible in their life for God to do an impossible thing. Right? They will have joy with me. Look at what God has done. What wasn't possible for man is possible with God. God always delivers on his promises. We need to understand this. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to glory, or to God for his glory. The King James Version says it like this on that scripture. It says, "For all the promises of God are yes, are in him, are yes." Let me read that again. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. What does amen mean? So be it, right? To the glory of God through us. God is faithful even when we're not. God is merciful and forgiving. Even when you're not, he is. God is good. Even when we're not, he is. Again, going back to the quote, Corrie Ten Boom says this, says, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." You know why sometimes it's hard for us to understand that God's going to do it? Because we lose sight of who he is in the middle of our situation. We lose sight of what he can do in our situation. I'm not saying we walk away from him. I'm not saying that we're not in a relationship with him. But how many of you know sometimes in the middle of your problems, looking and focusing on your problems, you forget what the people around you can do to help you with your problem, right? We do that physically, right? I can think, oh, man, I got to do this, and I can't get this to here. I can't do that because this is broken or this has happened or this needs to do it or oh, wait, there's a friend of mine who has a trailer, right? And can help me do this because I can't do it myself. And all I got to do is ask. Understand this. That's a very small scale as to what God is capable of doing in our lives. Right? Sometimes we use the simple things so that we understand the big ones. Right? God is capable of doing anything in our life. We need to go to him. And to allow him to work in our life. Because some of you know, when he makes you step out of the boat a lot of times, like I said a couple of weeks ago, when you take that first step, you don't see the end of the staircase, right? When you take that first step out of the boat, you don't see all the things that's coming. You don't even see the end of it. You just step out saying, I know you're going to take care of it. I know you're going to take care of it. I know that I'm going to be all right. I know that if I give it to you, I can look in my past. I can see what you've done. I can look in their past and see what they've done, what you've done for them. And I can understand that you love me just the same as you love them. Because that's really the issue that we get into. It's not whether God can do it. It's whether he would do it for me. Let me tell you, he would. He loves you. His promises are in his word for us. That's why he gives us his word. Amen. God sees what you don't in the situation. He knows what you don't in the situation. And he's doing even more than we can see or imagine right now. We have to allow our faith to be renewed. We need to allow the perspective of our faith to be changed. We need to know, guys, you can come on back up. We need to know that he desires to bless us. We need to know that his timing is not ours, but it'll be the perfect timing. We need to know that there's nothing too difficult for him and that he always delivers on what he's promised us. He always is faithful to do what he said. Maybe today you're struggling with the situation. Maybe you're struggling with this COVID situation. Maybe you're struggling with other issues, other situations. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it doesn't matter what it is. No matter where you're at, God is your answer for the problems that you have today. You say, well, I don't know him. I don't have a relationship with him. He won't do that for me. Let me tell you something. He sent his son so that you could have a relationship, and it's a free gift. All you have to do is accept it according to his word. According to his word. Maybe that's you today. You say, man, I need him in my life. I understand what you're saying about how I can't do it by myself because I look at my life and I see where I'm at and I understand that I can't do this. Scripture says that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that we shall be saved. You know, when Jesus came and he died, he didn't die just for salvation, although that's what it gives us. When we get that salvation, it opens up the door to our Father's house. say, where do you get that from? He says, no man comes to the Father except for through me. Right? I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But we need to understand that when we come to the Father, we have that relationship. Everything the Father has belongs to us. It's like this right now. My earthly father told me this the other day. He said, man, everything I have here belongs to you. Everything I have here is yours and available for you. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. All we have to do is ask our Father. You say, well, I don't have that relationship. I want you to do something with me. I want you to answer these questions. Do you believe that God sent his son to die for you, to give you access to him? If you answer yes, I want you to say this with me, this prayer. Now, it's not this prayer that does it. We're just following the scripture. You're going to confess with your mouth right now. Say, I believe that Jesus died for me. And I believe that I have access to my Father because I accept it now. In Jesus' name. God is so good to us. No matter what situation, no matter what step you're in, no matter where what you're going through, you have access to the Father. And what does the scripture say? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? and the hole under him, is that what he said? The gold under him, yeah, that's true. That's true, he owns it all. God is good to us. No matter what situation you're in, man, look to him in faith. Allow him to renew you. And I promise you, you will see something good out of the situation that you're in. You'll see it. How do I know that? Because the scripture says, if you look for it, you find it. Right? You look for it, you find it. You ask, you receive it. You knock, and God will open the doors for you. We don't have to try and kick them down. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you love us, that you desire good things for your children. We understand that it's a process that we're going through, maybe to get there. And that everything in our life isn't going to be all rainbows and skittles, man. We understand that sometimes we're going to face difficult situations. Help us not lose our faith in you. Help us not lose our trust in you. Help us see you working in our lives and allow us to have freedom that only comes from you through your Son. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I want you guys to do this with me. If you gave your life to Christ today, I want you to go onto our website, lakevictory.com, hit that connection card like Christopher was talking about earlier, and let us know that. Why do we want to do that? Because we want to celebrate with you. How many of you know that the scripture says, Aaron says this all the time, the scripture says there's a party in heaven going on at one person. So when we were having that spaghetti dinner and Keith gave his life, there was a party going on, right? Whole place was excited because he's a part of my family. He's a part of my family. He's a part of your family. And we want to be there for our family. Amen? We want to be there. With that, I want to do this. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to come back. I had a couple more things to tell you, and then we're going to go and celebrate with our mothers. We're going to remember our mothers and what they've taught us and what they've done in our lives, and we're going to thank God that he put them there. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's sing.